was that ant that stood up to me.
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one ant.
Ooh.
One ant.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one ant.
Yeah, boss. They're puny.
Hmm, puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up.
Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.
It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
six, five, four, three, two, one, zero. Blast off!
I got a laptop. I make music with my friends. I've got a laptop, baby. I make music with my friends. There it is.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Everybody, you're listening to the Mad Science Show. Today I want to go down a different road. I want to kind of break away from the norm and talk about something that's pretty interesting that a lot of people probably think about, such as time travel. Is it possible? Is it not possible? Well, if you listen to science and you listen to the physics, according to a lot of the bigwigs out there, so to speak, it is a possibility. And so with that said, I want to explore those possibilities and see what's what. See where this thing ends up taking us. Anyway, you're listening to Mad Science at www.shazizradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html. As well as if you scroll down underneath while you're on the Super Chat, you'll find a link to People for People Radio Network. Go over there and tell those wonderful folks I said hi. And if you do it quick enough, you might do it before I even said this. So anyway, I want to play a few things and give you some perspectives of what other people were saying about time travel and give you some food for thought, things to think about when it comes to that. You know, for example, you'd have to be really good at history. You'd have to know a lot about whichever direction that you want to go in for a couple obvious reasons. Science says that two objects can't occupy the same place and time, so you would need to know exactly where things are at any given time or space, or you could end up with a problem, such as 100 years ago, right here where I'm sitting, there may have very well been a big old tree, you know, maybe a 100-year-old tree, big oak tree or something like that. Anyway, so if I didn't know that tree was there and I just kind of went back in time, I'd end up face planting that tree. So, you know, one of two things is going to happen. I'm either going to face plant the tree and knock myself out or worse, or I'm going to become part of that tree. So that's one of the things to think about. So if you had pictures and you knew the exact date and the exact time that this picture was taken, it'd give you some general idea about what was where and when, whether or not it'd be a safe place to land. However, you know, there are possibilities that using science and physics, you could actually go back and just watch and not interact. But I even also want to get into the interacting thing as well, because a lot of people think that, oh, well, you know, there was something terrible that happened in the past. Why don't we just use time travel technology and go back in the past and fix the future? So you go back in past and, you know, you do something to some really bad person who sparked off one terrible thing, and then, you know, you come back to the future and you're surprised to see, wait a second, I know I just did that, but ain't nothing changed. That's because of something strange that goes on in the world. It's everything that you have ever done, you've already done. So you've already completed any given task for your entire life. You've already done certain things. You made certain choices. And so with that said, it's already been done. On this timeline, that has already been done. We'll get into that a little bit later. But anyway, I'm going to start off with this one right here and see where it takes us.
We know that time, in some sense, is at rock bottom, that which allows change to take place, right? When we say that time has elapsed, we notice that because things now are different from how they were a little while ago. That's what we mean by time elapsing. But is time some fundamental quality of reality, or is it something that our brains impose on our perceptions to organize our experience into some coherent framework that allows us to survive? I mean, I can well imagine that we have been under evolutionary pressure over the millennia to organize perception so that we can survive, get the next meal, plan for the future. All of that would seemingly require that we have a conception of time that we apply to what we experience out there. But that doesn't mean time as we experience it is real. It doesn't mean that time as we experience is how the world is actually structured. I mean, there are many ideas that people put forward. The possibility, for instance, that, you know, we all know that matter is made of molecules and atoms. Could it be that time is also made of some kind of ingredient? A molecule of time? An atom of time? Is that really what time is at a fundamental level? And what if you had one of these ingredients in time, a constituent of time, all by itself, would there be any hint of time as we experience it? Or do you need many of these ingredients in order to fill out time as we know it? I mean, if I handed you a molecule of H2O, you wouldn't know that it's wet, that it can quench your thirst, right? I mean, the ingredient doesn't necessarily bear a direct relationship to the macroscopic emergent qualities that many of those ingredients, when put together, will yield, like your glass of water. Time could be the same thing. There might be ingredients of time that bear no resemblance to time as we experience it. And yet that might be the more fundamental way that time is injected into the makeup of reality. Time travel is absolutely possible. And this is not some sort of weird sci-fi thing that I'm talking about here. Albert Einstein taught us more than 100 years ago that time travel is possible if you're focusing upon time travel to the future. And I'm not referring to the silly thing that we all age, right? We're all going into the future. Sure, I'm talking about if you wanted to leapfrog into the future, if you wanted to see what the Earth will be like 1 million years from now, Albert Einstein told us how to do that. In fact, he told us 2 ways of how to do it. You can build a spaceship, go out into space near the speed of light, turn around and come back. Imagine you go out for 6 months and you turn around and you come back for 6 months. You will be 1 year older. But he taught us that your time is elapsing much slower than time back on Earth. So when you step out of your ship, you're 1 year older, but Earth has gone through many, many years. It can have gone through 10,000, 100, or 1 million years, depending on how close to the speed of light you traveled. And he also taught us, if you go and hang out near the edge of a black hole, time again will elapse more slowly for you at the edge of the black hole than back on Earth. So you hang out there for a while, you come back, and again, you get out of your ship, and it will be any number of years into the future, whatever you want, all depending on how close you got to the edge of the black hole and how long you hung out there. That is time travel to the future. Now, of course, what people really want to know about is, what about getting back? Can you travel back to the past? I don't think so. We don't know for sure. No one has given a definitive proof that you can't travel to the past. In fact, some very reputable scientists have suggested ways that you might travel to the past, but every time we look at the proposals in detail, it seems kind of clear that they're right at the edge of the known laws of physics. And most of us feel that when physics progresses to a point that we understand things even better, these proposals just will be ruled out. They won't work. But I guess I would say there's a long shot possibility, based on what we know today, that time travel to the past might be possible, but most of us wouldn't bet our life on it.
So, there's one perspective there. And let's move to this one right here.
Ken, the concept of time travel is a staple of science fiction, but physicists study this because it teaches us something very fundamental about time. How do you see time travel, and what does it teach us?
Well, the question is it possible to go back into the past? In physics, we say, can there be a closed time-like curve, a closed time-like path, meaning that you are always going into the future, locally where you are, so you live your life in a normal way, but somehow you travel around in a loop. You return to the place that you were before, seeing an earlier or later version of yourself. We'd like to know if this can be done, because of course everyone is interested in it, but also if it can be done, we face a very serious challenge of how to make the laws of physics make sense in a universe where time travel is possible. If time travel is not possible, if it's not possible to travel backward and interact with yourself, then things are straightforward. If time travel is possible, we have to know, how do you resolve the paradoxes of time travel, the paradoxes that everyone knows, in which you go back and change the past to something other than what it really was.
Kill your grandfather and then what happens to you.
Yes, so then you've killed your grandfather, you're not born, you don't go back and kill your grandfather. Science fiction has dealt with this in many ways. Physics would have to make sense of it. And so far, no attempt at making sense of this type of paradox has succeeded. So it will be easier from the point of view of making sense of it if the thing can't happen in the first place. This is the kind of thing that I'm working on.
And how can we take that forward? In other words, what are some of the people who say that you can do time travel? For example, making time another dimension of time. We have three dimensions of space. We know from Einstein that space and time are the same thing. It's the space-time. There are three dimensions of space and one of time. Why don't we have two dimensions of time? It solves the problem.
So I couldn't say much about multiple dimensions of time. But in regard to general relativity, Einstein's theory of space and time and gravity, indeed, the presence of matter, the presence of pressure, the presence of momentum, these things change the shape of space and time. And that's the particular aspect of this that I study. Is it possible? We know it's possible to change the shape of space and time. We know, for example, that sitting here on the surface of the Earth, the shape of space and time is somewhat different. And so time passes for us a little bit more slowly than it would if we were out in space. So we move into the future more quickly, you could say. We are all time travelers. We go into the future because of the gravitational effect of being here on the Earth. It's a very small effect, but you could imagine if you were near a black hole, this would be a huge effect. But this effect is a harmless direction. It pushes us into the future. The question is, could you somehow use this type of warping of space and time, which is given to us by Einstein, to manipulate space-time in such a way as to make a loop? Make it so that you could not just go into the future a little bit more quickly or more slowly, but you could go into the past, come back to the place in which you had been, and interact with yourself. And this is this is very hard, but it isn't hard because of general relativity. If you ask what does the theory of general relativity tell us, there is an equation, Einstein's equation. It relates the curvature of space, space and time, to the sources of that curvature, the matter, the energy that produced that curvature. Normally we use this in a forward direction. We say, if we have some matter, what shape will the space be that this matter produces? But it's possible to use this in reverse as well and say, okay, this is the space I want. I'm interested to know, can I produce a space-time which has these closed time-like paths? So I write down the equations for such a space-time. I run it through Einstein's equation in reverse, and out comes some matter that I need. So, okay, all we have to do is go assemble this matter, and this will then produce the space-time which I wanted, which allows me to travel back in time and kill my grandfather, whatever it is. The problem with this is that whenever you do this, you discover something very strange about the matter that you need for this to produce this kind of space-time. This matter has to have negative energy. Now, this is not antimatter, which would still have positive energy. This is something which has negative mass. It weighs less than nothing. And if all we had was the classical universe, without quantum mechanics, you would say, obviously, this is impossible. Classical matter made up of particles, they have positive masses, positive energies. This could never happen. But in quantum mechanics, this is not the case. Instead, we can have things whose energy is negative, at least a little bit. So what I'm trying to do is to figure out, is it possible to put together the right kind of negative energy? But it's not enough to just have any kind of negative energy. We have to have the negative energy arranged in a particular way that would make time travel possible. And the situation as it seems to be now is that this particular way in which the negative energy would have to be arranged to allow time travel is not possible. So I'm trying to prove a theorem in this field to show that it cannot be done, to show that even though some negative energies are possible, they can never be arranged in the right way. It would make it possible to go in a closed time-like loop, to go back, to interact with the past, to try to change the past, to create paradoxes with the past. And if I can succeed in doing this, then that will show that we don't have to deal with this kind of paradoxes, that we aren't faced with a situation which otherwise we wouldn't know how to resolve of what happens when you go back and try to change the past.
Huh. All right, so let's keep moving here. Trying to give you a couple different perspectives on things here.
Let's start with Isaac Newton. Isaac Newton believed that time was like an arrow. Once you fired it, it went in a straight direction. 1 second on the Earth was 1 second on Mars, was 1 second on Jupiter. It never reversed direction. Along comes Einstein, who says, not so fast, not so fast. Time is like a river, old man river, that meanders around stars, speeds up and slows down. The new wrinkle in all this, which is causing all the excitement and the dismay of philosophers, is that this river of time can fork into two rivers. Or perhaps the river of time can have whirlpools and time can go in on itself. In that case, time travel is something you have to take very seriously, because Einstein's equations do allow for time travel. And they're blueprints, blueprints for different kinds of time travel designs that are compatible with Einstein's theory. For example, gigantic spinning cylinders. You go around the cylinder and you come back before you left. Colliding cosmic strings. You wind around these cosmic strings and you come back before you left.
And the key element is that in Einstein's theory, it allows this under certain solutions?
That's right. Time and space are like a fabric, like rubber, like a trampoline net. However, if you stretch the trampoline net so much, it can rip, perhaps. And perhaps you can turn this trampoline net into a pretzel and allow yourself to go backwards in time. Now, of course, there's a catch. There's always a catch in these things. The energy, the gasoline necessary to do this is fabulous. Even an atomic bomb does not have enough energy to drive the time machine. For a time machine, you need the energy of an exploding star.
How about all the logical paradoxes that one would come across in time travel, going back to the past, killing your grandmother, and all of those kinds of issues?
Or meeting your teenage mother when she's a teenager and she falls in love with you. So how can you be born if your teenage mother just fell in love with you? There are two ways to resolve these paradoxes. The first is self-consistency, that if you want to shoot your parents before you're born, there's something preventing you from pulling that trigger. Maybe there's a hidden law of physics that says you cannot create a time paradox. I don't believe that.
Yeah, that seems far out.
That's far out. I believe that the river of time forks into two rivers. If you saw Back to the Future Part 2 very carefully, Doc Brown, this Einstein figure, goes to the blackboard and draws a timeline from the 50s to the 80s. And then he draws a separate line that splits off from the main timeline. The river of time forks into two rivers.
Is this getting to the so-called many-world interpretation of quantum mechanics? Would that be...
That is the simplest way to resolve all these paradoxes.
That never seemed very simple to me.
Well, it's the simplest in the sense that you don't have to add any other assumptions than quantum mechanics.
Sure.
So if you go backwards in time and save Abraham Lincoln from being assassinated in the Ford's Theater, you save somebody else's Abraham Lincoln, who's genetically equivalent to your Abraham Lincoln, but you've entered another universe. If you shoot your parents before you're born, you've shot somebody else's parents before you're born, who's genetically equivalent to your parents. So you can go backwards in time continually, monkey with your own past. However, you're monkeying with, in some sense, a parallel past.
Right.
Now, Stephen
Maybe
Hawking...
creating a parallel past.
Creating a whole
new universe.
That's right. Okay. And Stephen Hawking even said, there's got to be a law of physics preventing this thing from happening. Well, we've tried, and tried, and tried, and failed. We cannot find any law of physics preventing you from going backwards in time. It seems to be consistent with the known laws of physics. The trick is, you have to have this energy on the scale of a star. You'd have to be a very advanced civilization. So these tourists from the future are just not 100 years into the future. These tourists from the future would be perhaps millions of years in the future, the ability to control the output of a star. We physicists are hot rodders of physics. We push the equations until they break down. So Stephen Hawking assumed that they would break down. Well, we were shocked. They didn't break down. The laws of physics seem to be compatible with time machines. This is very unsettling, because it means that perhaps, just perhaps, time travel is possible for advanced civilizations. Cannot be ruled out.
So, let's say you're looking at a clock, and this clock is relative to the same speed of the Earth. It's relative to you. It's everything's on the same exact frequency range. And so while you're next to that clock, your time is going in at a certain speed, and it stays constant with you at all times. So time for you would go as normal. But what about when you take and you leave the Earth, and the Earth is spinning, according to science, at 1,000 miles an hour, and so you fly away from the Earth and make a big loop and come back, and time has changed for you in a different manner than it has for the folks that is on the Earth. The time has stayed constant for them because they're relative to that actual clock that they're sitting there watching. However, your clock is a bit different. You're not, you come back and everyone else has aged a certain amount of years, and you've only been gone for, let's say, 6 months, and by the time you get back, you're actually a year older than you was when you left. So, if time is constant, and the speed of light is constant, and according to Einstein, if you could fly away from that clock at the speed of light, or faster, and you could look back at that clock, the clock would appear to be going slower. If you look at the clock, you can count to infinity from 1 all the way to, 24, and keep on counting and counting and counting to infinity, both forward and back. With electricity, there's a positive, there's a negative. They're forward and reverse kind of thing. So, in theory, if you could move away from that clock at the speed of light or faster, then that time for you here on the Earth would slow down. But if you could slow yourself down to the point where the relativity of that clock, if the Earth is moving 1,000 miles an hour around in a circle on its axis, you'd get left behind in time. The way that most of the physicists out there think about time travel is like bending time and space, or actually building a craft that could travel, and they're talking about it would take an infinite amount of power, when in reality, it wouldn't take an infinite amount of power. It would just take the ability to be able to speed yourself up or slow yourself down relative to the time that you're in at any given time. So, if I could speed my molecules of my body up so incredibly fast that time for me starts to slow down, while the same time for everybody else stays constant, or slow my molecules down to the point where I actually get left behind according to the relativity of that timeline. Think about that. If I go back in time and I try to kill my grandfather, which I don't know why I would want to do that, but if I did, the problem is that I have already done everything that I was ever going to do from the time I started to time travel back to the time that I was born prior. Everything that has occurred has already occurred, so it's already written down. So if I go back in time and do that, and then I come back to my timeline, down my timeline, back to the exact time that I left, absolutely nothing has changed. I still have the knowledge that I went back there and did this, but absolutely nothing in my life has changed. no, I didn't get to go back and save my father. I didn't get to go back and, you know, give myself the winning lottery numbers or anything like that. Everything that I did has already been done. So it's already been written down. However, that's on my timeline. If I won't go back in time and I kill my grandfather, like Dr. Michio Okaku was saying, it would spark off a new timeline, a fork in the road. So I did kill somebody's grandfather, another copy of me. So if you can think about every possible decision that you've ever made in your entire life, anything that you've ever thought of has already been done. Every single choice that you've ever made has already been done. And this timeline right here, you made a choice not to go down this specific road and you ended up at this other specific destination. But in the next one over, you made a different choice. You went slightly detoured from that destination and you ended up somewhere else. And so for every possibility of every single choice that could have possibly been made in any direction or the other, there would be a timeline for every single version of every single possibility that you could have done at any given time. So, all of the things that you're thinking about happening simultaneously in every single possible direction that you could fathom. Both forward, backward, sideways, up, down, in every single direction. All different types of basically parallel universes, worlds, however you want to think about it. So basically the equivalence is standing in between mirrors. Try it sometime, it'll trip you out. You look in one mirror, and you can see yourself reflection in the other mirror, back and forth, but it goes on into infinity in every single direction. Wherever you move in that mirror, you can see both forward and back in every direction. That, to me, is what explains time in the easiest fashion. Time and space and dimensional travel. All of which, according to physics, is possible. But everybody who thinks about time travel always thinks about, you know, trying to be either trying to do it for self-gain or, you know, some way in order to be able to go back and change history and be able to fix things that are broken in our future, our timeline here and now. But what they don't understand is everything that has been done on that specific timeline has already been written down. We've already made all these choices. So when you come back, the only way that this could even function, if the time and space was only one single dimension, there was only one. There wasn't no alternate. There wasn't no, copies of copies of copies in any direction of all the possibilities of what you could have done or said at any given time. Because in that instant, you go back and kill your grandfather. You were never born, so you never invented the time travel machine to begin with. But let's say that you wanted to just go back and visit. You just wanted to look. You didn't want to be there. I mean, actually interact with anybody. You just wanted to go back and watch. If you put your finger in front of your face and you start moving it slowly back and forth in front of your face, you can keep a track on your finger. But if you keep moving that finger faster and faster and faster and faster, eventually your finger appears to disappear. You can't see it anymore. Your eyes can only see so fast. Cameras can only see so fast. And so if you're resonating at a frequency way above or below the given capacity of what your brain or your eye can actually see, or the camera can actually see, it appears that you're not there anymore. So you could be in the past or the future as an observer, but not, nobody would be able to see you. You wouldn't be able to feel them or touch them or interact with them in any way. You would be in between dimensions. You could see everything, but you wouldn't be able to interact with anything. Therefore, you wouldn't change anything. You'd just be there as an observer. So in that instance, time travel would be an amazing educational tool to see, you know, the possibilities of what could go on in the future, and then, you know, come back and try to build the perfect path that you want to be on. Because in the future, it's amazing because you haven't made these decisions yet. You haven't made these choices. In the past, however, you've already made them. So that means they're written down. And if it's written down, and it's happened, and you go back and change it, you change it for somebody on a new timeline that you just created. In the world of quantum physics and even physics themselves, there's limitations to all kinds of things. But then, when you think about how science has actually proven in some incidents that, you know, an astronaut can go up and go around the world at 17,000 miles an hour and then come back and actually be slightly younger than the people that are actually still here on Earth. So, with that said, let's move on down the line here to this right here.
So time travel has really captures our imagination. I have some examples here on my title slide. We've got the poster from Back to the Future, this interesting painting by Salvador Dali and Marcel Duhamp, and of course there's Star Trek and countless science fiction media. Now, I always, in all my talks on time travel, point out this quote or something like it. This is from Simon Newcomb. Aerial flight is one of the class of problems with which men will never have to cope. I didn't include it in my talk, but the New York Times, in July of 1969, you'll probably figure out why that's a significant date, had to retract a statement they wrote in 1920 saying that a rocket will never leave the Earth's atmosphere because it has nothing to push against. Oops. So my point here is that even though, as we'll see today, that even if time travel is most likely impossible due to our best understanding of physics, our best understanding has been wrong. So it's not just that a non-scientist writing an article in the New York Times, for example, has been wrong, but also experts have been wrong on the feasibility of air travel and the feasibility of space travel. And I could have an entire talk on quotes of famous astronomers saying how space travel was nonsense and will never leave the Earth's gravity. So, no, a talk on time travel really needs to start with Einstein's theory of special relativity. So, Einstein solved, of the many epiphanies he had and many problems he was able to solve, he saw an issue between classical physics of mechanics and electromagnetism, and he was able to, we don't have time, of course, brief time together today to go through all the details, but he was able to solve and reconcile some contradictory models and parts of physics by postulating that the speed of light is constant in all frames of reference. And we
especially in science fiction, like to think of that as a limitation. Oh, speed of light is not that fast when you think of intergalactic scales, but it results in some incredibly interesting and important mathematical consequences. And one of them is the twin paradox, which isn't really a paradox, so it's a terrible name for it, because it's a real effect. And in fact, even though I illustrated with a cartoon with interstellar travel that we're not capable of yet as a species, On small scales, especially at the subatomic level, we know that the twin effect, as I'd prefer to call it, is real. So so Harold Lyons, who's the father of Sherry Lyons, who's one of our organizers today, actually invented the first atomic clock. You can see poster of the atomic clock there, and a photo of Harold Lyons over there, was the atomic clock, which is our most precise timekeeping device, was able to demonstrate that what I'm about to tell you is an actual real fact. So the classic example of the twin paradox is that you have two twins, and one takes an interstellar journey to some distant star planet, close to the speed of light, turns around and comes back, and the twin who took the journey is one that, when he returns to Earth, is significantly younger than his brother or sister. And this is a real effect that we cannot do on these large scales yet, but that thanks to atomic clocks and very fast planes, we can show that indeed this is a real effect, and that time is plastic. We talked a lot about neuroplasticity today. We all have this intuition that time is absolute, but that is shattered by Einstein in relativity. Time is not absolute, and your time and my time do not flow at the exact same rate. It's not like the universe has a universal timepiece and every star and planet has a clock ticking at the same rate. So if we take this...
Let me pause this for a second. When I said earlier that time is constant, we have measurements of time. We measure our days in 24 hours and you know, so many minutes and such. But as we are all here, you know, depending on which time zone we're in, we all look at the clock, and the clock stays relative to wherever we are at any given part of the world that we live in. So, you know, maybe somebody else, because they're further, you know, north or south from us, their time might be different as far as, you know, an hour's different, maybe a couple hours different, depending on which portion of this big spinning world that we're on. And so they get to a given point before we do, because they're further over in any given direction from where we're at. But where I'm at myself, my time, your time, if you're standing next to me, is basically measured at the same exact constant. So our watches, if we've calculated them together, they'll stay the same. But if I jump on an airplane and I fly around over here, and then I'm moving really fast, and I get over there, and I can somehow or another get back to you quickly as well, then it seems that your clock is slightly different than mine now. So this is what he's talking about.
Now, and so if this is a question now of engineering and technology, not of physics. So this is, if we had the fuel, probably something better than fossil fuels to do interstellar travel, this is guaranteed to work. But now, this is maybe not as satisfying. This is time travel to the future one way. Because your contemporary friends, or you may outlive your descendants by taking an interstellar trip, coming back to Earth. But that's a one-way trip to the future. Now let's try to do some mathematical extrapolations in relativity to see, well, what can we do to get to the past? So if we mathematically extrapolate that as you approach the speed of light, we know that time slows down in some sort of, it's an ill-defined sense, but at the speed of light, time stops. Then if we extrapolate that, faster than the speed of light should mean time goes in reverse. Unfortunately, though, you would
need an infinite amount of energy to push anything with non-zero mass to the speed of light itself, let alone to exceed it. So that does...
So, basically, when he's talking about an infinite amount of fuel, it takes a lot of energy to move a heavy object in any direction at, this incredible amount of energy to move it to the speed of light to begin with. But what if you weren't trying to move the mass in the conventional sense? What if all you were doing was changing the mass of any given craft that you might be sitting in, or even your own body for that matter? So you're not actually trying to fly at the speed of light. You're either speeding yourself up or you're speeding yourself, slowing yourself down so incredible that as time is moving for everyone else around you, you're either moving faster than them or slower than them. So things will look to you as if they're either going in super slow motion or they're going in super fast forward speed. So let's keep going here.
It doesn't seem to be something practical or realistic in any way. So now let's expand, though, from special relativity to Einstein's other great epiphany, which was general relativity, where he essentially rewrote Newton's theory of gravity to have come up with a completely different theory of gravity that explains gravity in a different way, through gravity being the geometry of space-time and not just some mysterious force. And recently, this year's Nobel Prize in Physics was awarded for the discovery of gravitational waves, which is an astounding additional upon other existing mountains of evidence of the predictive power of general relativity and how it accurately explains the world around us. If we look at general relativity, you can come up with something known as a Tipler cylinder. So this is another attempt at trying to get something that gets us time travel to the past. And the idea here is you have a very dense material, and that if it's rotating fast enough and the material is dense enough, this twists space-time in a way that traveling around the cylinder in space should get you back in time. You can think of this, a good analogy is a spiral staircase. So we're all taught that if you walk around 360 degrees, you return to the same point. Try that on a spiral staircase. You do not return to the same point. The idea here is that with a spinning cylinder, you can set up the right space-time geometry that gets space-time twisting such that if you execute 360 degrees spatially, you return to a different point in time, including the past. The problem with this is, how would you get a material that's dense enough? And one of the main issues pointed out by Stephen Hawking is that for any of these types of ideas, you would need either an infinitely long cylinder or you'd need something called negative energy, basically matter that would have a negative mass instead of positive, which I'll come back to later. So it doesn't look like warping space-time is going to work. We have these infeasible obstacles, infinite length. How are you going to make something infinitely long? Although I think the...
Pause that there. What if you're not trying to warp space-time? What if you're not trying to move a heavy amount of mass at any given direction? What if you're just standing still? And when you're looking at that clock right there, the Earth is moving at 1,000 miles an hour, according to science, on its axis. It's moving 1,000 miles an hour. So while I'm standing there, I'm moving 1,000 miles an hour with it. My space, everything is relative to that clock on the wall. I'm not going anywhere. I'm just right there. So, if that time frame is actually stuck, if time is constant on that ball, as long as I'm standing there, as long as I'm relative to that clock, then my time never changes. But if I change my mass and my molecules to the extent where I'm either ridiculously slow and time is glued to this one particular deal relative to where, as the Earth is spinning around, I would begin to slip in time. The faster that the time goes, it would constantly get ahead of me to the point where I literally begin to go back in time. And I, keep in mind, I've never moved. I haven't moved it at all. I'm just in an alternate, in between dimensions. Alternately, the Earth is moving faster than I am away from me. Even though I'm still standing there. Time itself is moving faster than I am. Now, in the opposite spectrum, if I speed myself up, time begins to move slower for me, and I would go in the opposite direction. But neither of which would take an infinite amount of power, because I'm not actually trying to move my mass. I'm just changing it. I'm just changing the frequency range. It's like radio stations. When you're listening to any given radio station, you have to be right in tune with that in order to be able to hear it. Slightly off, you hear it changes a little staticky, and eventually it's all static and you can't hear it at all. It's still there, but it hasn't, you can't hear it. And so, if you knew the exact frequency of any given object, and you could resonate that object to move either faster or slower, then the time that would have been relative to that particular object would change. You'd either slip back in time or you'd slip forward in time. And as long as you were within between those dimensions, you wouldn't be able to interact with anything, but you could see it as it was going by. So let's keep going.
The size of the universe would work too. So if the universe isn't infinite, you can get around this. What if instead of trying to twist space-time, you try to punch a hole through it? So this is the very classic. Here's a picture of the idea of a wormhole, where you can punch a hole through space-time, and you get from one distant location to another, or even another universe, or hopefully even better, to a point in the past or future. And the this is just a cartoon. The classic example of this is you take a sheet of paper, or you poke a hole through it to point out how, what if you could have a shortcut through space-time? I should point out this is only a cartoon since we have three spatial dimensions. They got this right in the movie Interstellar. A wormhole would actually be a sphere, not a 2D hole like we're used to in the book. So this is just an analogy because I can't give you a four-dimensional projection in PowerPoint. That'll be in a future version. So. And there's the problem with wormholes. This is a great idea, and you can write down the equations for this in general relativity. And as I said before, we believe general relativity. We discovered gravitational waves. We saw more this week. And your GPS needs relativistic corrections from both special and general relativity as we communicate with satellites that are traveling fast and are far from the Earth's gravitational field. But these the equations of general relativity tell us that, unfortunately, a wormhole would be unstable. Even a laser pointer, even light attempting to traverse the wormhole would collapse it. You need something with negative mass, or at least negative mass squared, to go through, which is known as the tachyon particle, the hypothetical particle that's always traveling faster than the speed of light. And so this again runs into this issue of negative mass. Seems to be a running theme of something we need for time travel. And I'm going to now explain why that appears to be the case. So this is a classic cartoon that's used to illustrate it with a 2D analogy of our three dimensions of space, what the how general relativity describes gravity in the universe. So bodies with mass, the Earth, the Sun, will make dents in space-time. The more massive an object is, the more significant the dent. So the Earth orbits the Sun, not because there's this mysterious action at a distance that Isaac Newton would call it, but because there's this invisible manifold of space-time that's being warped. And if you have enough velocity, you fall around something instead of into it. But if we keep extrapolating, We get from the Earth to the Sun to entire clusters of galaxies which have enough gravitational field to actually bend light. The Sun does as well, of course, and even the Earth, but it's a much smaller effect. But if we keep going to black holes, this is a picture from the movie Interstellar, then if we keep extrapolating, in the classical theory of general relativity, there comes a point where at the event horizon of a black hole, the point of no return beyond which even light can't escape, if you throw something into a black hole to an external observer, it would be as if time had stopped. So the extrapolation here, similarly to the extrapolation with speed, that as you approach the speed of light, time slows down and stops. If we do this with gravity in general instead of special relativity, as gravity goes to infinity, time slows down to the point of stopping. Now, again, though, time is relative. If you're falling into the black hole, you don't freeze at the border. You fall in and die. Okay, so this is the external observer. So someday I think it would be a lot of fun to just park next to a black hole and throw stuff at it and create this ring of frozen objects that appear frozen in time. Again, though, from the object's perspective, it falls in and is crushed in the singularity, most likely, according to our current best understanding. Now, let's look at a more recent, so we talked about the Tipler cylinder and the twin paradox. These are all go back decades. I want to talk about a more recent thinking on this topic, going in a different direction, although still following one of the earlier themes of rotation. One was negative energy, and the other was a need for somehow twisting space-time. And so a colleague of mine, Professor Ron Mallett at University of Connecticut Storrs, whom I met when I was giving a colloquium at University of Connecticut on my research into dark matter, he's actually the only real life experimental physicist who's not a crackpot, real tenured professor, although my colleagues always say being a professor of PhD does not guarantee you're not a crackpot, but he's a real deal. And he's got a new idea that he came up with only, I believe it was a decade ago now, to create an effect by which you could travel to the past using he has a completely new idea of how to attack this problem. This is a photo of him with one of his prototypes. It's not photoshopped. It's a real device. It doesn't take you to the past yet, but this is a real device, and I'm going to explain to you how this works. Dr. Mallett's idea is that you produce a cylinder of laser light, and you use mirrors or something like that, you know, to create a circulating laser, so that's confined to a spiral, essentially, along a cylinder. And the idea is that if the laser is strong enough, you should be able to send something in on one side, send a particle in on one side, and emerge on the other side of the cylinder in the past. Because if the laser light is strong enough, it's like this animation here of swirling a cup of coffee. Space and time itself is rotated. And on a small scale, this also, just like the twin effect and the gravitational slowing of time, this is a real effect we've measured. We've measured, it's called frame dragging from the Earth. This is just extrapolating this on steroids. Now, it remains to be seen, does this really? Dr. Mel, of course, has been arguing with his discussing with his colleagues. Would it need to be infinitely long to work? Does it need negative energy? So the last topic I'm going to hit. So these are all the examples of ideas of what we can do, and a lot of these are from relativity. But let's think also about quantum mechanics, which is, so relativity tells us about gravity and about speed, with the speed of light. But there's also a whole other area of physics that explains the world of the very small, that explains particle physics, and that's quantum mechanics. In quantum mechanics, we can try to attack the question of whether time travel is possible, looking at particles, a proton, an electron, or a photon, traveling What if it interacts with itself in the past? What does that even mean? If it prevents its own trajectory through a wormhole, for example, and that's a variation on things like the grandfather paradox, but breaking it down into subatomic particles. So, time travel, if it is allowed, we would need a full theory of physics combining our understanding of quantum mechanics and relativity to get a full answer as to whether it's possible or not. Right now, we don't have one simple set of equations we can write down that explains the entire universe, including gravity and particle physics, all at once. There are, if time travel is possible, I can't give a talk on that topic without mentioning paradoxes. My favorite, though, is I think even more complicated than, you know, killing one of your ancestors or a particle bumping into itself in the past. But there's the ontological paradox. So here we see Calvin trying to steal his homework from himself so he doesn't have to do it. So if time travel is possible, it leads to this serious issue of information without a source, which in quantum mechanics is a very serious problem. If time travel is real, forget about the paradoxes of, you know, killing one of your ancestors, either by accident or on purpose. But because what happens if you have objects or ideas without an origin that are essentially closed loops? So this is very, 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 very bizarre. So one solution by a physicist, David Deutsch, is that you've probably heard of the solution of parallel universes. Oh, it's no there are no paradoxes, you just make another timeline. Another explanation is predestination. If you try to assassinate Hitler, your gun will always jam. Personally, I think that's a lousy explanation. It's not intellectually satisfying. Then there's a third explanation that's not explored very often, not even in fiction, because it's so bizarre. And that is the idea that if you did try to create a paradox, the universe becomes a Mobius strip. And you have two timelines existing simultaneously. And so if you go back in time and kill your grandfather or your mother, you're both dead and alive, like Schrodinger's cat. You're 50% dead, 50% alive. What does that even mean, though? And that's a difficult question, since quantum mechanics is about particles. We are collections of vast numbers of particles, 10 to a very large number. And so it's not clear what the eerie quantum effects mean for large collections of atoms like ourselves. So all of these ideas, parallel universes, and this predestination paradox, are explored in fiction all the time. We've got The Flash, Twilight Zone, Star Trek, things like that. Every so often we have supposedly real-life evidence of time travel that's always really easy to debunk, though, such as the infamous cell phone in the Charlie Chaplin movie The Circus, which was very easily explained away as an earpiece for the hearing impaired. So these are usually pretty easy to debunk. We don't have any robust evidence that there are time travelers among us. Except, of course, there's the composer Gustav Mahler, who looks exactly like me. So I fooled my wife with that one on Facebook. She said, "How did you get a daguerreotype photo of yourself? That's amazing." And I was like, "That's not me." All right, so tourists from the future, though, are always brought up by Stephen Hawking and Neil deGrasse Tyson, who I hope see this on YouTube. I hope I catch their attention, because I, the humble professor from UAlbany, am going to tell them that they're wrong about something very important. So I'm going to boldly declare that time travel is not disproven by a lack of tourists from the future. And the reason is easy. And in fact, since I'm not an expert in general relativity, they are. They should know, because in general relativity, it's very easy to show that, for example, wormholes is a classic example of this. You can't, even if time travel is real, you can't go back before you made the machine. So if I use a wormhole, for example, time travel, the day that I punch the wormhole, that's the first day I can go back to, from the future to that day. I can't go back further than the past then, the moment I created the machine or phenomenon. There are exceptions, of course. What if there's naturally occurring wormholes that have been around since the beginning of time, things like that. But in general, I'm not worried about the lack of tourists from the future because it just means time travel hasn't been invented yet. So I don't see a problem with that. So, in conclusion, the problems we have with time travel based on our current understanding of physics are unfortunately numerous. You need to go faster than light, build a device of infinite length, use negative energy or infinite energy. You would need something gravitationally gravitationally repulsive if we extrapolate, as I was talking about, how increasing gravity slows time down and gets you to the future. To get to the past, you'd need something that we don't know exists, and we don't even have a model or hypothesis that predicts any sort of particle or material with the requisite type of negative energy. So I'm going to conclude that it's unlikely that a human will ever travel through time, at least into the past, with a fine-tunable machine with an on-off switch like we want in fiction. However, I will make the bold, optimistic prediction that once we've figured out how to marry relativity and quantum mechanics, and we have a full fury of everything, that I think that time travel will be possible for subatomic particles, so that it'll be possible to communicate, for example, have some sort of time telephone or telegraph. And I'm going to boldly predict, with nothing to back this claim up, but that within 100 years we'll get to the point where we have the technology to send a subatomic particle a tiny fraction of a second into the past, not carrying any useful information initially. Now, in order for that to be feasible, though, time travel would have to be taken seriously, which it isn't, and no one would actually be working on it other than Ron Mallett. I don't know of anyone else who's really taken it seriously in terms of experimental physicists. There are many theoretical physicists who do write papers on it, who work on general relativity, but I don't know other than Ron Mallett, I don't know anyone else who's taking it seriously enough to try to build something. And I think in order for my optimistic prediction to come true, it would have to be taken seriously and pursued by large numbers of the brightest minds in order for even in 100 years, even for this prediction is way too optimistic for my colleagues, but people... But in general, nine scientists say, no, that's not good enough. What do you mean subatomic particles? I want to get in the time machine. And so I'm going to conclude with this. A lot of what I talk about today wouldn't be possible, obviously, with Einstein's seminal work. And I always throw out this photo of Einstein because we got to remember that he didn't always have gray hair. You know, he was born, he was a baby, and there was a point in which he did not have gray hair yet. So I always like throwing out that image. So that's all I've got. Thank you.
So what would be the point, literally, in wanting to time travel? You know, a lot of people want, like I said, they want to go back and give themselves the winning lottery numbers, or they want to go back and change an event to save somebody that died or something like that. But once again, there's so many different possibilities of what could actually go wrong, and the amount of knowledge necessary in order to be able to accomplish the task and be able to have information brought with you, you know, to get yourself back, for one. But if all you're going to do is spark off a new timeline and then get back to your own time and absolutely nothing has changed, that rules out personal gain for as far as financial, as far as what has gone on in the future. Now, if you, in theory, went back in time as an observer, and then you came forward back to your time with the information that you had gathered, you know, who won the particular baseball game or whatever, by the time you get back to your time, these things have already been done, and they're already common knowledge to everybody. So, you can't go back in time and find you know, watch history play out, unless, for example, maybe you was able to go back in time and you see somebody hiding a treasure that you know hasn't never been found, and then you go back to your timeline and you go find it. So, no matter how hard you think about it, there's all kinds of possibilities in every single direction imaginable when you talk about the subject time traveling. People time traveling from the future, he was saying that you couldn't go back prior to the time the machine was actually invented. However, what if you could? What if you could go back as just an observer? And actually, when you got back into a certain period of time, you could speed yourself back up to match that particular time frame to catch up with the speed of the relativity of where that time is right there, and then actually be able to interact with people out there. Well, in those incidents, when you changed anything in that timeline and then got back into your machine and went back down your timeline, by the time you got back down to your timeline, your where you came from, and absolutely nothing has changed, with the exception, and now you have the knowledge that you went back and you did this. But on your timeline, everything that has been done, you've already done, it's already been written down, it's already in existence. So you could spark off infinite timelines and all different possibilities of all different things that you wanted to happen or not happen. However, because of that particular incident and all the infinite possibilities of all the different choices and all the different things you could have done, it could take forever and a day to ever get back around to you, somebody on an alternate timeline. Let's say I got a guy that's on the left of me. I go back in time and I kill his grandpa. Well, then he's never born. Well, the guy on the right of me, he comes back and he kills my grandpa. And so I'm never born. But he'd have to do that before I ever even did anything. But on my timeline, I still have done everything that I've already done prior. It's already in existence. So there's now, instead of my single timeline that I'm on, there's three separate timelines. One where I was never born in this one, and one when I was never born in this one, and the one where I've already been born and I've already done everything that is I'm going to do. So even the guy next to me on either direction can't change anything that I've already done. So nothing they do is going to matter. It's going to just create another alternate timeline in whichever direction that splits off to infinity and beyond. But if you used to use time travel in an educational manner, as opposed to trying to go back and find treasures and make yourself rich, and we could solve a lot of problems by not only seeing what things have been done in the past, but events that are playing out in the future. So on my timeline right now, if I went to the future and I saw that there was something coming down the road that was going to be harmful to mankind, and I tried to tell them, the question would be at that point, would they even listen? Would they listen to somebody who said that, you know, doomsday would be coming around the corner if this particular device is turned on and allowed to function? Would they be able to stop it? So all the different possibilities, it's pretty amazing when you start to think about everything from time travel to interdimensional travel and even going, you know, to infinity beyond in space. You know, going to a different universe. Going to a different, what's the word I'm looking for? An alternate universe. Nothing, it seems like nothing you do can actually benefit you personally, financially, with the exception of the one possible incident where I go back and I look and I see where somebody hid a particular treasure, and then I come forward in time, and now, you know, I have this treasure and I can sell it and become wealthy and whatever. So, if you're listening in and you think of a paradox that could actually be created by that, let me know. Because this subject is mind-blowing when you get down to it. Whenever you listen to the actual physicists out there and what they think would actually you'd have to actually do in order to be able, and how much energy it would actually take for you to be able to travel forward or backward in time, and all the reasons why it's not possible as why it is possible. But what if? What if hypothetically you could literally travel both forward and backward in time with a minuscule amount of power just merely by changing your mass? You could bring your mass up just slightly above the world around you so that time would start to slow down and you would catch up. The time relative to where you started would slow down and you would catch up to whatever timeline that you were trying to get to, including going forward, all the way forward into the extreme future, thousands or millions of years into the extreme future. One of the other problems that I mentioned earlier would be the knowledge of what was where and when. If I go into the future, I don't know that where I'm sitting right now that there is anything harmful to me in the future. Now, if I go to the future and I'm phased in between two dimensions where I can see what's there without actually physically being vibrating at that specific frequency, that if I was to hit a tree, I would basically get killed because of how fast that I'm going. Or I would literally just phase right through the tree because it's resonating at a higher frequency or a lower frequency than I am. So moving forward and back in time doesn't defy the laws of physics. But the knowledge that you would have to have in order to be able to do this safely and actually be able to get back to where you started, it's pretty incredible, but not beyond the realms of possibility. Let's keep going here.
It's got to be something a little bit more sophisticated than the DeLorean, but the possibility of traveling to the future is real.
You got it.
I had to keep my passion for time travel a secret for decades because I wanted to build up my credentials as a legitimate physicist. And the thing is that any legitimate physicist who was talking about it was risking professional suicide to talk about it. It's been a rocky road because you're not getting the support that you need because you're not telling people who might help you what it is that you're trying to achieve, even those closest to you. And I can remember feeling very depressed because I felt like I was getting nowhere in trying to understand how to build the time machine. And there would be times in which I would just sit in a dark room listening to Simon and Garfunkel, pondering whether all of my life had been a waste to do this. I started actually getting heart palpitations, I was put on medical leave for about 6 months. This condition, which I was being treated for, was the thing that led to my breakthrough, because for the very first time in my career, I was totally isolated. That is to say, I didn't have anything to do except think about all the information that I had been processing for decades about the various possibilities. Time travel is now entering into the domain of the legitimate. That is to say, that the present generation of physicists who grew up with Star Trek are now the ones who are part of the legitimate community. So it's much more open, although the way in which it's stated in scientific publications, which is code words like closed time-like loops, which is the same thing as talking about time travel to the past. A number of physicists are working on various ideas. One of the most well-known is the notion of a wormhole. A wormhole is just simply a very simplified way of thinking about it, is that suppose you have a rubber sheet, a flat rubber sheet, and suppose you cut a hole in one side of the sheet, and you cut a hole in the other side of the sheet, and you connect those two holes with a tube. That's a wormhole. This allows shortcuts through space and time, and it turns out that by manipulating a mouth of a wormhole in an appropriate way, it's possible for a space traveler to travel through a wormhole and come back and see themselves traveling back into the wormhole in the past. So a wormhole is a possibility. The other possibility are what are known as cosmic strings. These cosmic strings are long lines of matter that were created. They're sort of like fault lines in the universe that were created after the universe was created. And if these fault lines are passing each other, these cosmic strings are passing each other, they can create a loop in time, and along that loop in time you can go back into the past. So this is another mechanism. And then there's my work, which I found a different way. It turns out that in Einstein's theory, not only can matter create gravity, but light can create gravity as well. If gravity can affect time, and light can create gravity, then light can affect time. And so my idea was to use light to manipulate time. My time machine would essentially look like a tunnel of light. It would look like a circulating cylinder of light. Think of the coffee in this cup as being a portion of space. And think of the spoon as being like a circulating light beam. Imagine now that if I take the spoon and stir the coffee, you can see what's happening to the coffee. That's what the circulating light beam is doing to empty space. The circulating light beam is causing empty space to get swirled around and creating a vortex. But if you stir it strongly enough, it can actually begin to twist time into a loop, because in Einstein's theory, space and time are linked to each other. Whatever you do to space also eventually happens to time. So in addition to twisting space, you will eventually twist time into a loop. And along that loop in time, you can go back into the past. And that's the core of my idea. What I didn't realize when I began was the fact that there was going to be a limitation. For instance, if I turn the device on today, a loop in time will begin to form. And if I leave it on, for example, for, let's say, 10 years, someone could travel from 10 years back 7 years, 5 years, all the way back to the beginning where the machine was turned on. But they can't go back earlier than that because the machine didn't exist earlier than that. That means that time travel to the past is possible, but only from the future after the device is turned on. You're not going to be able to travel earlier than that, which answers the question why we haven't seen time travel tours, because that means that the first human-scale time machine hasn't been built. But that meant that I was going to be blocked from my possibility of visiting my father, which was very bittersweet for me. However, I have to say that one of the things is that because I've reached the goal theoretically, I feel that that's something that my father would have been very, very pleased with, that I have achieved that. And it allows me, I have to say, to be passionate, but it's not as all-consuming, because I now realize that in addition to wanting to control time, it's important to want to live in time. And ultimately, for all of us, even though time travel will allow us to have an unprecedented control of our destiny, we all only have the present moment. in our lives, and it's important to live that moment as fully as possible. That's what I have learned.
Albert Einstein is famous for his thought experiments that tested the limits of human knowledge. One example is his twin experiment. One twin stays on Earth while the other speeds away in a spaceship. According to Einstein's special theory of relativity, the twin on the spaceship will age slower. How much slower depends on the spaceship's speed, and therein lies the key to manipulating time. Imagine, 5 baby Einsteins are born on Earth on March 14, 1879. One stays on Earth. The other 4 get in spaceships to return to Earth on March 14, 1979. Each spaceship travels away and back at different speeds. The first travels at 50% of the speed of light. The second at 75%. The third 99%. And the fourth at 99.9999999% of the speed of light. Now let's fast forward. March 14th, 1979 on Earth. Earth Einstein is 100 years old. Einstein on ship 1 is 87 years old. Einstein on ship 2 is 66 years old. Einstein on ship 3 is 14 years old. And Einstein on ship 4 is 1.5 days old. No spaceship around can reach these speeds. But it's still fun to explore the possibilities with our own thought experiments. It's what Einstein would have done.
Wait a minute, Doc. Are you telling me you built a time machine? Out of a DeLorean?
The way I see it, if you're gonna build a time machine into a car, why not do it with some style? Besides, the stainless steel construction made the flux dispersal. Look out!
Hey, Doc, this is it.
Never mind that.
Why, that's me! Look at me! I'm an old man!
I'm Dr. Emmett Brown. I'm standing here on the parking lot at...
Thank God I still got my hair! Well, what on earth is this thing I'm wearing?
Well, this is a radiation suit.
Radiation suit? Of course. Because of all the fallout from the atomic wars. This is truly amazing. A portable television studio. No wonder your president has to be an actor. He's got to look good on television.
Whoa, this is it. This is the part coming up, Doc.
This sucker's electrical. But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electric...
What did I just say?
The flux capacitor stores... This sucker's electrical. But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity...
1.21 gigawatts! 1.21 gigawatts! Great Scott! What the hell is a gigawatt? How could I have been so careless? 1.21 gigawatts! Tom, how am I going to generate that kind of power? It can't be done, can it?
Doc, all we need is a little plutonium.
Oh, I'm sure that in 1985, plutonium is available in every corner drugstore, but in 1955, it's a little hard to come by. Marty, I'm sorry, but I'm afraid you're stuck here.
Whoa, Doc, stuck here? I can't be stuck here. I got a life in 1985. I got a girl.
Is she pretty?
Oh, she's beautiful. She's crazy about me. Look at this. Look what she wrote here, Doc. I mean, that says it all. Doc, you're my only hope.
Marty, I'm sorry, but the only power source capable of generating 1.21 gigawatts of electricity is a bolt of lightning.
What did you say?
A bolt of lightning. Unfortunately, you never know when or where it's ever going to strike.
We do now.
This is it. This is the answer. It says here, that a bolt of lightning is going to strike the clock tower precisely 10:04 p.m. next Saturday night? If we could somehow harness this lightning, channel it into the flux capacitor, this might work. Next Saturday night, we're sending you back to the future!
Don't try me. Don't wanna be late again. She takes Operator, give me the number for 911.
So, visualize a clock being stationary on the wall, and visualize that clock now being a video. You're sitting there with the remote control, and you can literally rewind it, or you can fast forward it, and you can go back and see what happened at the beginning of the movie, and then you can go forward and see what happens at the ending of the movie. Time travel, to me, in that instance, would be, you know, a knowledge-based kind of thing. You're not actually there. You can see what's going on. You're just there to observe history unfold in either direction, you know, to learn. And so, to me, if time travel was used for that particular purpose, it could have benefits as such as, you know, finding out the real truth about what happened at any given time, you know, solving mysteries of, you know, lost treasures or, you know, murder or something like that. So you could go back in time and you could see the real history of the past, you know, and even to the extent of being able to know who built the pyramids. How did they build them, you know? And going into the future to see on this particular timeline with the direction that the society is going, where will we end up? That type of knowledge to me would be the most beneficial as far as making it so that we could learn from our past and we could also learn from our potential future. But on this particular timeline that we're on, the future would probably be the best go as far as, you know, knowing that if you keep doing what you're doing right now, these things will play out. Now keep in mind that I said, anything that has already happened, anything that you think or have thought or any possibility has already happened, it just hasn't happened yet, but it's happened on any given timeline depending on where you're at. So, if we was to try to make our future better, and we had the capability of going forward in time to see what decisions we would make, how they would play out, it'd almost be like watching a movie and coming back with a spoiler alert. That might not make life very interesting, but if our ultimate goal was to improve our world to ensure the existence of our particular dimension, our particular society or whatever, to, you know, be able to come back with knowledge that, you know, hey, don't do this because if you do this, that will happen. How many times you'd have to go into the future in order to be able to make changes that wouldn't become devastating, because one of the things that we don't know is there's consequences to every single action that we take. Whether you did do something or you didn't do something. See, there might have been events in history, had these events not occurred, even though they were terrible events, the possibility of something even worse occurring because this particular event never took place, they're unlimited. So either direction. My thing is that if you wanted to use this technology to, you know, learn and stuff like that and not tamper with the timeline in any form or fashion whatsoever, just for educational purposes, this could be a good thing. However, could you imagine living with the knowledge of future catastrophic events that were, maybe mankind was completely extinct? We just, on this timeline, we did something and we just blew ourselves out of the water. We killed off everything. That kind of knowledge, coming back and trying to tell the world what you saw in the future, because while a lot of people think about time travel, nobody really seriously knows whether it's possible or even believes that it's possible. And those who do might have ulterior motives. in order to not want you to say certain things, because maybe they want certain events to play out the way that, you know, they're going to on this particular path. So, when you talk about time travel, that's one of the most amazing subjects, with so many different possibilities, that it's quite overwhelming. And so the question is, should we, should we go ahead and look into the future to see what's going on, or should we go back to the past to find the truths of things that happened in the past? I mean, it'd really be nice to know the truth of history. It'd be nice to know that, you know, our future is looking good. So, you know, going to the future to see how things play out. Maybe things are meant to play out exactly the way they do, because if I go back in time to my normal time and I change anything, I can't foresee the consequence of my actions until those changes occur. I have to, you know, I have to go into the future again to see what kind of devastation that I actually created by changing that one event that would have happened, but it didn't happen because I did a certain thing. I came back with that knowledge and I changed one thing that basically made everything on this side just incredibly awesome, but caused this domino effect that eventually, even farther down through time, literally caused the devastation that we was trying to avoid to begin with. So it's pretty mind-blowing when you think about it. There's all kinds of different possibilities, whether you tamper with time in any direction, and what changes is going to be made, sparking off multiple timeline after multiple timeline and so on down the line. You literally cannot go back in time and kill yourself. You go back in time and kill the other you self. And so, with that said, it seems to be like we are limited to a lot of things, with the exception of our imagination, where we could take any given subject, where we could actually take our world if we really so choose to do so. Trying to make wise choices and then turn around and build a better future for humanity, you know, is living in this time, using wisdom of things that we do know in order to try to ensure that we have a better future for all generations to come. So time travel isn't something to be taken lightly if it's ever accomplished. I'm saying hypothetically if it's ever accomplished. But in reality, if you thought about it, it's already occurred. Every single thing that you think, every single thing that you imagine and dream of, has already occurred. Could very well be that those dreams that you're having aren't really dreams at all. It might be you shifting from one dimension to the next, visiting all different types of realities of everything, every different type of possibility, even to the extreme of the bizarre, things that we look at as just insane. Why did I have that dream? Some people think dreams are warnings. Maybe they are. Maybe we're, you know, in this body is our prison, and we can't go anywhere with exception of when our mind is able to actually project itself past that shell, so to speak. It's a subject that has an infinity of possibilities in every single direction, every single possibility. So every single thing that you have ever thought, you are both right and you're both wrong. Think about that for a second. If you think it, you're both right and you're both wrong at the same exact time. Now, one thing about science, when they get into quantum physics, I don't like quantum physics because essentially it gives too much leeway for if you don't know what you're talking about, just make it up and, hey, it's going to happen. But in reality, nobody really knows the truth of anything. We're all just doing our best guess of everything. But if you had unlimited knowledge of both forward and backward in the past, and you could actually learn from that. You could learn from your mistakes and never repeat them again. You could see from each decision that you made what the outcome would be. I don't know, to have that unlimited knowledge might seem to be a little bit boring for the human spirit. Nothing surprises you anymore, because you can already look ahead to see what's going to happen before you do it, and you'd never make the wrong choice. Or would you? Because if you're both right and wrong in every choice that you make, according to all the possibilities of our every single choice and every single action and reaction that could occur for any given thing, you know, Murphy's Law said if it can go wrong, it will go wrong. So maybe tampering with time's not a good thing. Maybe we should just leave it alone. But it's still one of those doggone questions that fascinates the world. What if? What if I could go back in time? See, the only way the Doc Brown version works is if there's only one single dimension. And you go back and you change that. And then when you change that, you come back and there's changes occurred. But even to that extent, you wouldn't know whether or not those changes would be good things or bad things. There would be possibilities that you change something that may have been a bad thing, and then you get back to the future and it ends up being worse than the one prior. So you would have pretty much wars of time travelers going back trying to fix and not fix and assassinate this guy and not assassinate this guy, and it would be just a completely, utterly chaotic world to live in. With the alternate timelines, it doesn't directly affect you per se, because when you go back and do something and you come back to your time, absolutely nothing has changed for you, but you might be making the guy or gal on the other side either miserable or extremely happy and grateful. Now, if that don't twist your mind around, nothing will. It's all kinds of possibilities. But according to physics and science and everything that we know about this reality that we live in, the possibilities are endless. Now, if we wanted to use this technology to go back and learn how things worked back in the past as far as mechanically, electrically, what they did, things we may have missed in the deal, and use it for educational purposes and then bring it back, you could have a timeline that would be so incredibly advanced that, providing nothing went wrong, they could literally produce a utopia on that particular timeline. And they would actually have the capability of going back in time and affecting other dimensions and giving them information to where they could also begin to bring about a utopia on their timeline. So interdimensional time travelers could come and go as they please and incrementally put information in the right place at the right time from all the different calculations being made by computers that we could only fathom now, that would say that if you do this, this is actually what's going to occur by this action. Because it's been documented for, let's say, millions of years. if not billions of years. His computer's been thinking and thinking and thinking of every single possibility, of every single thing that could have occurred, every single action, every single reaction, every single possibility, and every single spectrum of even so much as uttering one syllable at any given time and space. And if you wanted to go and you wanted to see different points in history, like if I'm sitting here on this chair and I use my machine to go back and see what was here, where I'm at any given time, forward and back, and I could take the same machine and I could go stand at any other point in space relative to where my timeline is, stand on a different country, do the same exact thing. I could wander around this world that we live in and stand in different places and go see the complete history of the world. I could watch it like a movie. And just like using a remote control, I could stand in that same spot and I could go backwards in time to see what did happen, and I could go forward in time and see what will happen. So if you had enough people in the future being able to do this, they could go in every single direction and see every single possibility, every single choice ever possibly made, and then formulate their perfect world by what they've learned. Think about it. Where I'm standing right now, I could only see what is in my general vicinity unless I stepped off between those dimensions into that particular timeline and interacted at that given space, given somebody information that didn't or wouldn't have had it otherwise. But then when I get back onto my ship and I go back to where I was, absolutely nothing on my timeline had changed because of that one occurrence of what I did or said to whoever it is that I was talking to or interacting with. It's pretty amazing. You could go anywhere and do anything with all different possibilities. Who knows? There might even be a world to where we are the cartoons. It's mind-blowing when you actually look at the movie The Matrix and how humanity was being basically used as batteries. It's quite very likely possible that that's a real occurrence. Some people actually believe that whatever you think of, you manifest. And so if I'm thinking of it, somebody else has probably thought of it, and with the numbers of all the people in the world, maybe many, many people have thought of it. So wherever I'm at in my stage of research about figuring out different things about alternative energy and even discussing time travel and interdimensional travel, I'm not the only one. There could be many. There could be millions. All the different possibilities. So this is one of the subjects that when you get into it, you know, some people have to drop out of the subject quick because it's just too much thinking. But if you're one of those people that like to think about what if, thinking outside the box, what would you do with a time machine if you had one? Knowing that there's some rules set in place that probably the only way you could make yourself rich on your timeline would be to go back and find a hidden treasure. But to go back and give yourself the lottery numbers, on your timeline you didn't play those lottery numbers. So when you get back to your time, you're still broke. Broke is a joke. But on the other timeline that you just helped that person out, if they play those lottery numbers, they end up winning the lottery. repercussions of which may be that you destroy their life because now they got all this doggone money and they make some really poor choices. So if you had not had intervened in their life by giving them the lottery numbers, then they may never have destroyed their life. That's mind-blowing. The responsibility of that type of technology would be so overwhelming that they'd probably, in the future, make laws against it, with exception for educational purposes only. But then, you're talking about an infrastructure where you'd have to have some sort of way to ensure and be able to tell whether or not somebody was tampering with time or not. Has anybody ever tampered with our time? Makes you wonder, because if you hear stories about the, the CERN particle collider or whatever, particle accelerator, collider, both of them, I guess they do both. They spin them around and slam them together to see if they can find things. But then you hear people talk about the Mandela effect, where some people remember Mandela being dead, dying in prison, while other people remember him being alive and dying of old age. And so many different incidents of different products that they could have swore was had a different name or a different spelling. Things that were said in movies and done in movies, that some people have different memories of how these actually played out. Folks, we live in a fascinating world. And I honestly believe that we're only limited to our imagination as far as what we could accomplish. If we ever took the time to take every bit of information that we have access to at this point in the game, on our particular timeline, we could do amazing things. And as long as we proceeded into the future with wisdom, even making our own choices without going ahead in time to see what those choices would basically come out to be, we used a little bit of wisdom and thought through things before we did things, we'd probably save ourselves a lot of pain in the future. There are entities in this world who believe that, the ends justify the means, and they don't hesitate to try to choose for us. But as we move forward into the future, we've got to start realizing that we are really important to one another, and that we have to figure out ways in order to work together to benefit all of humanity. It's not beyond the realms of possibility. It could be beyond the realms of what, I hate to say this, but you can't get very many people to agree on any given subject at any given time. What you think as a utopia, somebody else might not think of as a utopia. And so, unfortunately, because we are all, individuals, and we all have our own goals and missions in life, so to speak, the things that I would want for my future might not necessarily be the things that you would want for yours. And so, trying to get everybody to go to a perfect world would probably be a really hard task. Logically, it probably, the odds would be against it, so to speak. But if you could get the world to agree that we all want a better future, and we brought our most wisest minds together, and we started working towards that future, we could accomplish it. Theoretically, the science world thinks that they've got the world pretty well figured out. Spiritually, most of the world haven't even a clue. There's so much more to this world than meets the eye. My research has taken me down so many different paths. And I've seen some amazing things. Some of which I can't even talk about. Because you have a perception in this world of what's possible and what isn't possible, what is real reality and what is not reality, what is fact and what is fiction. But maybe even on a spiritual aspect, if a person doesn't believe in God, then they're right. To them, God doesn't exist. And to God, they don't exist. However, if you do, then to you, God exists, and to God, you exist. Even if it was just a creation in your own mind. Every single possibility that you can fathom, you're right. They're right. Both sides of the fence are right. Everything is truth and everything is a lie at the same exact time. This world is an epic mind twist. It's disheartening to think about all the different possibilities and choices that everybody in this world has ever made. I can't even drive down the road without looking at an old abandoned house and thinking about the life of the people that lived there. Some ended in tragedy, and some of them just, maybe died of old age, and nobody ever came back and took care of the house, and so nature finally took it back. So it's a sometimes sad and depressing thought to think about everything. I would like to know every single story of every single living soul in this world. I'm amazed with people. I'm amazed with you. I'm really interested to hear things that go on in your life, things that you want and things that you hope to accomplish. That's, to me, the best part of life. Being able to travel. You can take me on a journey through your life with the words that come out of your mouth. And since I've got such a vivid imagination, I can literally watch your life play out before my very eyes like a movie, both forward and back. And you tell me the things that you do. And to me, that's an awesome thing. And as to your future, I hope for you the very best. I want to see every single person in this world be able to live a happy life. Everything that you ever wanted comes true. I want to see that come to pass. But I know that until we get to a certain point, that we're not going to work together like we could to ensure that everybody has every single thing that they need. We've seen through history, in the brief history that we've all been in, the choices that people have made for themselves and others without their consent, bringing us into wars and rumors of wars and plagues and famines and pestilence and all the misery that has to do with every bit of that negativity. I want to use the knowledge and the journey that I have taken in my life to try to make this specific timeline that you and I are on so much better for everybody. But I have to understand that I have to make it your choice to want to take that journey with me. So I can put suggestions out there and hope that the world will take those suggestions. But I can't go in there with the deal that I know it all, because I seriously don't. I don't know that every single thing that I could ever possibly say or do might not cause harm to the world. But I've gathered enough information in my journey through time and space and life to utilize just a bit of wisdom that I think could benefit. And so the best I got is what you see here. I talk about ideas, I talk about things, and I hope that together we make the right choices and we build a better future for all of mankind. I know for a fact that energy is free. No ifs, ands, or buts. And I know for a fact that if we come together, we could literally give it to the world. And that journey to me and to many others, it would solve a lot of problems. It would ensure that the world didn't have to fight over resources. How it is that the elitists of the world have ever convinced us that we are, you know, needing to fight each other over resources. They're already telling us we're going to have wars over water. We are in the future are supposedly going to be having wars over water. Science says that the earth is 3/4 covered in water. There's more water on this world than there is people. And the crazy thing, science also says that water is the most stable molecule in the history of time. And that there's nothing you can do to destroy it. You can get it dirty. You can also clean it back up. Nature does. So we could spend a little bit of time observing this beautiful world that we live in, seeing how nature does what nature does, and paying attention in the school of life. We could begin to mimic what nature has already accomplished. And we could do it in a respectful manner to work in perfect harmony with this world that we live in. We're standing at a crossroads, every single one of us. We're standing at a crossroads. We have choices. We have free will. But we got to decide on a future where we want to go. We got to decide where we want to be. You know, hypothetically, if every single person in the People for People chat room had their own world, you was the one who made all the rules in your own world, you could build that world exactly the way that you wanted it. And anyone who liked that world might want to come and visit. And it's kind of like what we do on a personal level. We build our lives to suit what we want out of life. And those who like our choices, they come to visit. So what would your world be like? What type of world would you create in hopes that others would come to visit? I hope that today's show, I give you a whole lot to think about. But I hope I didn't make your mind melt into oblivion. Mad Science was put together because mainstream science basically told us that nothing that we believed in was possible. And they hid truths. In my research, I've seen things, amazing things, and I've learned so much. And I wish to get all this information out of my mind and put it out there for the world to see. I wish that they could see the world through my eyes. You know, a tiny, tiny little bit through a video or a podcast. If they hear my words, and I know how powerful words are, they might be able to visualize and get a glimpse of what it is that I see. And if they could see what I see, and they wanted to go together down that journey and try to make this world better, that would be awesome. I'm just a simple man who does a lot of thinking, done a lot of research, read a lot of books, and watched a lot of movies, and talked to a lot of people. And as crazy as it sounds, because of the duration or the length of a person's life, there's just not enough time in existence to be able to see everything that there is to see and know everything that there is to know. But if you ever did get to that point, I don't think any one person would want to know every single answer to every single question that ever existed in the history of time. I think that our Creator was amazing. I think our Creator thought of every single possible outcome and put into play the reaction for such choices. And if you just think about the simple of it, thou shalt not kill is a pretty good thing. Because the consequences, they're not good. I just wonder, like I always do, I just wonder what this work would be like if we could just get everyone in this world to sit down and listen for a short period of time. I know one thing's for sure. On the path that we are, the timeline that we're on, we aren't heading down a good road. We're actually tempting fate, so to speak. And the big wigs at the top, they got us doing this. We'll be right back.
that ant that stood up to me.
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one ant.
Ooh.
One ant.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one ant.
Yeah, boss. They're puny.
Hmm, puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this? You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up. Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life. It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back. Does anybody else want to stay?
What is the dream? The dream is to bring brilliant minds from every nation together to solve the world's problems, one positive pebble at a time. It will be we, the people of the world, that bring about true change, peace, and love to all. Governments never solve any problem, only create them. Wars, starvation, sickness, oppression, financial slavery, death and destruction is what governments do best. When all the military might of nations is used to destroy other nations, the question has to be asked, why not use that military strength for good? Feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, heal the sick, and so forth. True representation of truth, freedom, and justice comes from we the people, and it never came from slick-talking politicians that say whatever they have to get elected, and then regulate away your freedoms. There is no reason to have starving babies in the world of today. Yet, it goes on. There's no reason for wars and sickness, yet it continues. We as the people must stop feeding that beast that is eating humanity alive. We the people of all nations have the power to bring about a literal heaven on earth. You as an individual have more power than you can possibly imagine. You have the power of the spoken word. You have the power of the pen. The power of action, and most of all, the power of love. It is time to use this power to make our world a better place. We are the founding fathers, mothers, sisters, and brothers of our children, and of our children's children's future. Into the future and beyond, what we do today will define the world that they live in tomorrow. Let us from every nation come together and make that future a great one.
space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
So, with all that, do I personally think that time travel is possible? Well, I know it is. Beyond a shadow of a doubt. But the thing about it is that type of information that you would trust in the hands of all the people of the world? Or maybe even just a select few governments and such. If you decide to time travel and you go into the future, you might want to contemplate on the possibilities of what the future would be like and whether or not they would like somebody being there from the past or whatever. And if you decide to go to the past, whether past or future, ensure that however you get there, you take spare parts, especially if you go into the past. Because things that exist now hadn't been created then, including vaccines for certain diseases that we pretty much believe that we've eradicated, both forward and back. Could be new genetically altered diseases in the future that you're not ready for. So there's all kinds of possibilities, both forward and back. But if you decided to time travel, you should do it with wisdom and stay out of the reach and out of the view of anyone, both forward and back. You could go there and watch it like a movie, so to speak. And then take that wisdom back with you. From that point, what you do with the information is completely up to you. And whether or not anyone would even listen to you is completely up to them. So, what have you learned in today's show about time travel? Is it worth the hassle? Could there be benefits? Could there be things that are unforeseen circumstances that would cause more problems than they would help? Well, as far as I'm concerned, you're left with infinite possibilities in any given direction, in any given time and space. So it's mind-blowing. What you do from this point on will determine your destiny in life. The choices that you make from this point on will determine your future. And so using wisdom and taking that powerful mind of yours and looking forward and at least contemplating the possibilities of what could go wrong and how things could play out, I think you would do very well. I don't know if we'll ever be able to get the world to work together. I know that if the standard model is still in play, that governments of the world and people who think that they know best for your life will continue to try to make choices for yourself and spark off one rebellion after the other in order to ensure that we constantly live in chaos. Where we could go, as opposed to where we are going, is two separate things. where we could go is beyond all imagination, into a world that is so amazing. See, our Creator gave us something so mind-blowing, so wonderful, so beautiful, that if we ever used it properly, if we ever learned how to work in harmony with this amazing gift, humanity could excel beyond your wildest imaginations. We could go and do so many things that you couldn't even fathom. Our only limitations is us. The only thing stopping us from boldly going where no man has gone before is us. We allow people to put us in fear. We allow people to keep us in chaos. We allow people to hide the truth. But if there ever come a day that we figured out what real unity was all about, this world would definitely change. We got a long way to go before we can even hope to visualize that future in reality. But if you take your life right now and start thinking towards ways of bettering your circumstances in the future for all humanity, then you become that gear in the machine that works for the better of all. If you understand that just because you have knowledge doesn't mean that you know what's best for the person next to you, you can share that knowledge with them and hope that they'll choose the right thing to do. But I'm not in control of your destiny, just as you're not in control of mine. I have to live with all the choices that I make. And so as I walk this journey in my life, I'm hoping to make the best choices possible to let the best of me shine out, to let that light be either a beacon or something to guide people in which direction to go or not to go. I can learn from my mistakes now that I realize my place in time. And the moment you realize that you're just as important as the gear beside you, that's when your life will change. Take one gear out of a Swiss watch and that watch doesn't work right. It might still function to some extent, but it'll never be what it was truly meant to be. An amazing timepiece. Time travel is possible. If you dream it, you can live it. For whatever reason, our society and the people of this world bow down to the darkness and allow it to walk all over our brothers and sisters. For whatever reason, we refuse to demand that all truths be told, that all wars be stopped. solving the issues of hunger and sickness and all those terrible things that we constantly hear about. We have the power. And the power begins in the words that come out of our mouths. So, I spent years and years and years researching every single thing that I could possibly research. I loved knowledge. I loved information. I wanted to know where we came from, where we've been. I wanted to know the stories of people that I've never even met. I'm fascinated and I'm amazed. I'm just so truly humbled and blessed to be able to know all these people that I've met in my life. And to have them actually be willing to share a bit of their life with me. Tell me about their journeys and such. So, where am I going from here? Well, I'm in a process right now of putting together my last and final lab. And I've got some amazing things that I want to share with the world in a really unique fashion. I got some really important things. They said that there were certain things that can't be done. And I'm here to prove them wrong. I'm here to attempt to right the wrongs of the so-called scientists of this world that we live in. So with all that said, I hope you enjoyed the Mad Science Show today. And the moment I get my new lab, which is going to be my last and final one, stay tuned for the grand finale. The thing that I've been talking about on my YouTube channel for quite some time. Because it's coming. And I think you're really going to like what you see. Peace and love, everybody. You've been listening to Mad Science.
Sonic, you hear me? Give my creation life!
Ah, crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
Hey, Doc, this is it.
Never mind that.
Why, that's me. Look at me. I'm an old man.
I'm Dr. Emmett Brown. I'm standing here on the parking lot.
Thank God I still got my hair. What on earth is this thing I'm wearing?
Wow, this is a radiation suit.
Radiation suit? Of course. Because of all the fallout from the atomic wars. This. It's truly amazing. A portable television studio. No wonder your president has to be an actor. He's got to look good on television.
Whoa, this is it. This is the part coming up, Doc.
No. This sucker's electrical. But I need... need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of
electricity. What did I just say?
The flux capacitor stores. This sucker's electrical. But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
1.21 gigawatts! 1.21 gigawatts! Great Scott! What the hell is a gigawatt? How could I have been so careless? 1.21 gigawatts? Tom, how am I going to generate that kind of power? It can't be done, can it?
Look, all we need is a little plutonium.
Oh, I'm sure that in 1985, plutonium is available in every corner drugstore, but in 1955, it's a little hard to come by. Marty, I'm sorry, but I'm afraid you're stuck here.
Whoa, Doc, stuck here? I can't be stuck here. I got a wife in 1985. I got a girl.
Is she pretty?
Oh, she's beautiful. She's crazy about me. Look at this. Look what she wrote here, Doc. I mean, that says it all. Doc, you're my only hope.
Marty, I'm sorry, but the only power source capable of generating 1.21 gigawatts of electricity is a bolt of lightning.
What did you say?
A bolt of lightning. Unfortunately, you never know when or where it's ever going to strike.
We do now.
This is it. This is the answer. It says here that a bolt of lightning is going to strike the clock tower precisely 10:04 p.m. next Saturday night. If we could somehow harness this lightning, channel it into the flux capacitor, it just might work. Next Saturday night, we're sending you back to the future.
Strikes twice.